Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trump, and I'm your host, Katie Trump. Well, let's get right into the NFL football talk. Starting with Monday Night Football, which was it went just as expected, at least in my opinion. The Baltimore Ravens kicked the crap out of the New Orleans Saints, 27-13. Really, I mean, the Ravens just ran away with this. I mean, not only literally ran away with it, but man, their defense was really taking it to the Saints. I mean, they just picked up Roquan Smith this week. They traded for him from the Bears, and he's arguably one of the best defensive players in the league, and he made his presence known game one for the Ravens. So great pickup for them. But then you also got to look out for Justin Houston. He got 2.5 sacks on the game, but he also has 8.5 sacks on the season. So he is just really sacking it up and having a solid season. And really the Ravens defense stepped it up in this game, but also offensively, they had another solid game. Lamar Jackson had not like a spectacular game, but a very overall good game. He went 12 for 22, 133 yards, one touchdown and 82 rush yards. And he made some big plays on third down and short yardage plays with his legs. So it was a good win for Baltimore. And the Saints just keep on losing. And then also in NFL news, so I did mention on Monday's show that the Colts fired their coach, Frank Reich. But I did forget to mention who they hired as their coach. Now, I had already had all my notes and stuff, basically, so that's really why I didn't talk about it. But I'm kind of glad I waited until after that absolutely dreadful press conference in which they announced the interim head coach is going to be their ex-center, Jeff Saturday, who has no coaching experience on any level, by the way. He was literally just doing a show on ESPN. And they basically just like called him up right after they fired Frank Reich and said, "Hey, you want to come be our coach?" And he's like, "Hey, okay." And I mean, the press conference was absolutely atrocious. I mean, as I said before, me thinks Jim Irsay may be back to popping the pills. And that press conference kind of looked a little whack to me. First of all, it was hilarious because they scheduled the press conference to be at the same exact time Monday Night Football's on. So they knew that they wanted it to be on at a time when nobody was really going to watch, because they knew it was going to be a disaster and they knew it was going to be stupid and they knew their choice of interim coach was going to be ridiculous and everybody was going to question why. So that's, of course, why they made the press conference then. But wow, just a shit and excuses that Jim Irsay made. He was talking about, he was asked about Jeff Saturday having no coaching experience, and he's like, "Oh, I'm happy that he has no coaching experience because he won't come into this and he won't have that coaching taint on him," basically. And it's like, yeah, no, you could try and spin it whichever way you want, but not knocking Jeff Saturday at all, because obviously we don't know how he's going to coach. But to act like this isn't a questionable call is just ridiculous, because I mean, not only was this press conference random as fuck and the choice for interim coach random as fuck, but I mean, really, he could have looked around his coaching staff, because, you know, the thing about firing your coach midseason and then putting an interim coach in, you usually want somebody who's already been on the coaching staff, because they know the players, they know the coach, they know the coaches, they know the playbook, they know everybody's capabilities, they know everything that's been going on since the start of the season, which is what you want. And so, and then also to top it off, there's a lot of experienced coaches on the coaching staff who actually could take over as interim coach, but no, he decided to go with his good old buddy Jeff Saturday, which just, it's so weird. Even Jeff Saturday said in the press conference he was shocked and surprised that he was offered the job, but of course he's going to take it. So, duh, of course he's going to take it. I mean, who wouldn't take it? Jim Irsay's calling me up today and wants me to coach the Colts. Well, hell yeah, hit me up. I mean, he might as well. I've got just as much experience as Jeff Saturday does, apparently. But, yeah, it was just weird. Weird choice and weird press conference. I mean, that was the only highlight of him talking about how he is totally fine without Jeff Saturday having the coaching experience. But as if the Colts season wasn't already on shaky ground, it's going to get very interesting the second half of the season. So we'll see how that goes for the Colts and Jeff Saturday. So let's move on to good teams and talk about the top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. And starting it off at number one. Number one remains the stupid-ass Philadelphia Eagles, who are still undefeated, 8-0. And, I mean, they're just dominating on all levels defensively. I believe they lead in takeaways and on defense. And if they don't lead, they definitely are right up there. They're just they're getting it with sacks as well. And they're just making it really difficult for every offense that plays against them. And then, of course, Jalen Hurts, he just continues to keep getting better every single week. He's so far in the season has 2,042 passing yards, 12 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Then on the ground, he has 326 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns. So he's just having an efficient and great season. And then they also have Sanders on the ground at running back, who's got 656 yards and 6 touchdowns. So, and then A.J. Brown, he's had a good season overall, but these last couple of weeks, he's really been the go-to guy, really been getting hot. Second half of the season, he might make a really big run here. All right, then number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Kansas City Chiefs. Moved them up because they are just really kicking some ass right now. They're 6-2, and Patrick Mahomes is just carrying this team. He is having just a stellar season. He even had to get it done on the ground this weekend, which he really hasn't done in a couple of seasons. I mean, we all know he has that capability where he can run and make big plays on the ground, but he usually doesn't have to do that. But this week he really did against the Titans, and he made his presence known, made some big plays, and was able to get the win. So far in the season, Patrick Mahomes has passed for 2,605 yards. He's actually on pace for the most passing yard, to pass the record by Peyton Manning for most passing yards in a season. I don't recall. I think it's 5,000 something or other. It's a lot because it's Peyton Manning, of course, but he's on pace to actually break that record. And he's also got 21 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions, so he's having a solid season. And right now, he would probably be my MVP front runner. I mean, we're halfway through the season, so right now would be a time where you kind of compile all the stats, take a look at what's going on, and you got to say Patrick Mahomes has really been the reason why. He's done everything offensively, especially. I mean, their ground attack's not that good. Their receiving core is okay beyond Kelsey. I mean, other than I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster's having a pretty good year, but he's not like a number one receiver. But other beyond Travis Kelsey, their offense is pretty anemic, and Mahomes is doing it all. So far, great season from the Chiefs. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Bills fell one spot. They are 6-2 overall. They really just had a down game. I mean, they're playing a division opponent. Josh Allen did have a bad down game where he threw a couple of bad interceptions that just were really costly in this game. He's still having a really good season. He's got 2,403 passing yards, 19 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions on the season. But Stephon Diggs is really where they're getting the offensive production. He's got 857 yards and 7 touchdowns. He actually is tied for the lead league in receiving touchdowns. So he is just really having a phenomenal season. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Minnesota Vikings. Overall record of 7-1. Like I said, I'm starting to become more of a believer in them. I definitely think they're going to win their division and make the playoffs for sure. It's just what happens come postseason. And like I said, they do have a pretty stacked schedule, at least for the next month. So they're definitely going to have to prove themselves. And they most certainly will if they're able to get a couple of these wins here. But so far, they're rocking and rolling. Justin Jefferson, he just continues to dominate. He's got 867 yards and 3 touchdowns on the season. But where they're really getting the surprise production from is from Za'Darius Smith, the linebacker on defense. He's got 7.5 sacks on the season. He's really making it difficult for all opposing quarterbacks. And the Vikings are just playing all-around great team football. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens here the next month. But they've really helped themselves out with their record by at least winning these games that they need to win early in the season. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have my Dallas Cowboys. Overall record of 6-2. They're coming off of their bye week, so a quiet week for them. Defensively, they lead the league in sacks still with 33 sacks. They are great with the takeaways as well, the forced fumbles, the interceptions. They're right up there. Micah Parsons, he has 8 sacks on the season, so he's got to get a couple this weekend to make up for the bye week. But the Dallas Cowboys defense definitely looking solid. And we'll see what happens offensively. There's some rumblings that we may possibly sign Odell Beckham Jr. here to make a nice little run here the second half of the season. And I'm all for that. I've always kind of enjoyed Odell Beckham Jr. I, of course, didn't like when he was with the Giants because I can't stand the New York Giants. But him coming to the Cowboys, I can most certainly root for, and I think that would just absolutely help on offense. We could really use all the help we could get on the offensive side of the ball. But Cowboys holding steady at number 5 this week. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Baltimore Ravens. Overall record of 6-3, and just really led by Lamar Jackson. He has passed for 1,768 yards, 16 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 635 rushing yards, and 2 rushing touchdowns. So he's just having a great season so far himself. As I mentioned before, Justin Houston on defense is really having a great season, 8.5 sacks. It just kind of seems like he is a force everywhere he goes, and I feel like he's really just flourishing with the Ravens in their style of defense. So Ravens holding steady right now. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Miami Dolphins. Overall record of 6-3. And it's just a really efficient season from Tua Tagovailoa right now. He does have quite a bit of offensive weapons, but so far he's really efficient. He's got 1,980 yards passing, 15 touchdowns, and only 3 interceptions. So the fact that he's not turning over the ball is really helping, and the fact that he's got Tyreek Hill, who's got 1,104 yards already on the season with 3 touchdowns, so he's really making his presence known as well offensively. Very efficient season from Tua, and it's really paying off for the Dolphins. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Seattle Seahawks. Overall record of 6-3, and they just keep rolling. I mean, this team is such a surprise to me. And they really are getting very convincing wins now. You know, Geno Smith, he's really not making many mistakes at all. He's got 2,199 passing yards, 15 touchdowns, and only 4 interceptions on the season. So he's really limiting any turnovers. And he's also making really big plays also. So it's just really, really shocking season from him. Then you also have Walker on the ground. He's come out of nowhere as well, and he's got 570 yards rushing with 7 touchdowns. But defense, they're really holding it down, which is really shocking because it's a really no-name defense. But they've already got 16 forced fumbles on the season, which leads the league. And they are just really difficult to get by. So you really can't. While I have a feeling what's going to happen is the 49ers are going to start making a run and the Seahawks are going to start slowly losing some games here and there. And I think the 49ers eventually will overtake the Seahawks and get the NFC West. But right now, the Seahawks are playing really well, and they're playing really well on both sides of the ball. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, we have the San Francisco 49ers. Just mentioned them. Their overall record is 4-4, so not that great. But defensively, they're just one of the best in the league. Joey Bosa has 8 sacks on the season, so he's just really a force you can't reckon with. And offensively, they have a superstar basically at every single position, especially now that they traded for Christian McCaffrey. If he's able to stay healthy, they really have their choice of weapons with him and Kittle and Debo. I mean, they really, and their offensive line, I mean, they are going to get Trent Williams back here pretty soon. Like I said, you really got to look out for the 49ers and the NFC West while the Seahawks are playing well. And the Seahawks are the number one thing that the Seahawks are doing right now that's really well, other than getting wins, is they're beating their division opponents. So that's really going to make a difference if this division starts getting sticky at the end. And then rounding out my top 10 NFL power rankings this week, I have got the Tennessee Titans, overall record of 5-3. And it's really just all about Derrick Henry with this team. He's already got 870 rushing yards on the season, which of course leads the league, and 9 touchdowns. And this guy, it's crazy what he does for this team. Especially when, I mean, last week, the Titans absolutely could have beat the Chiefs. If they even had a halfway decent quarterback just in the game, if Tannehill was playing, they probably would have got that win. Defensively, they're getting at quarterbacks and they're playing pretty well, but it's all about Derrick Henry. If Derrick Henry's having a good game, and I mean, it's so weird because he's so difficult to stop. He literally has defenders hanging on him. And not just one defender, like a couple defenders, and dude's still running. So it's just great to see this from Derrick Henry, and he really is just leading the way for this Tennessee Titans team. All right, and let's get to the Thursday night football matchup for tomorrow night, week 10. It's another doozy. The Atlanta Falcons at the Carolina Panthers. And while they did have a very good game against each other last week, it's just these two teams are, I don't think either one of them is going to be a playoff team, and they're really not good at all. So it's probably going to be a very sloppy game from both teams. But hey, it might turn out to be a good game, like the last one. So it's Atlanta Falcons at Carolina Panthers. They did just play, 2 weeks ago. Atlanta right now is a 2.5-point favorite. But I mean, I don't really believe in either team. This is a division matchup, so that's why I feel like it's going to be a close game regardless of the outcome. But I'm actually leaning towards Carolina in this one. I feel like they probably have a really bad taste in their mouth from that loss, because they probably should not have lost that last matchup. Had they not missed the extra point, they actually would have gone on to win. Although that extra point is never guaranteed, but that penalty cost them. And so I think they have a sour taste in their mouth from that loss. And I kind of feel like they're going to come back. They're going to avenge that loss. I do see the Falcons having a pretty decent game. And I do think this actually is going to end up being a good game. I've got Carolina winning a close one, 20-17. I'm really just leaning towards them just because they probably, that game from a couple weeks ago, it still stings, I imagine, because it's not from earlier this year. It's from only a couple weeks ago. And this is a division opponent. They are at home. And I just kind of see the Panthers taking care of business in this one and getting the win, 20-17. And now let's talk about college football. The top 10 this week, huge shakeups in that top four, especially because the top four is what matters the most, since those are the four playoff teams. But we had some teams really tumble completely out of the top 10 after their losses, and some that are still in the top 10. I think they're going to have a really major battle ahead of them, just because especially the top three teams, to me, they really are good. And I don't, if they suffer a loss, I don't see that being a big deal where it might kick them out of the college football playoff. But hey, there's still quite a bit of college football left to be played. There's 3 weeks of the regular season left. So I mean, anything can happen. So, I mean, we just had a whole bunch of upsets this past weekend, so things did get shook up. So let's start off with, we do have a new number one this week. Not new number one for the entire season. Of course, this team has been number one, and of course, that's the Georgia Bulldogs. And they are 9-0 on the season, and they did just take care of business against the Tennessee Vols, who were number one at the time. So Georgia being number one, I can't argue with that. Like, as I've been stating for the majority of the season, other than the beginning of the season, because I did not believe in Ohio State when the season began. But now I have been actually, in my opinion, other than this week, I feel like Ohio State has been the number one team in the country. I just think SEC always just, there's always that SEC bias, and so they've been putting them over them, but I feel like Ohio State has been the number one team aside from this week. Georgia, for sure, 100% should be the number one team this week. They beat the number one team last week in their home. They did go to Tennessee and beat them 27-13, and it wasn't even close either. It looks like it was kind of a close score. Nah, Tennessee really did not get those points until it was garbage time, basically. And this week, Georgia will be playing at Mississippi State. Then at number two, Ohio State, who just actually got by Northwestern. It was a 21-7 win by Ohio State, but Northwestern's not that good of a team, but Ohio State still took care of business. And this week, they will be playing Indiana. Then Michigan, they are also 9-0. They are still undefeated. They just beat Rutgers 52-17, and they play Nebraska this week. And then at number four, the new team who has now entered the playoff talk is TCU. They are currently 9-0. They just beat Texas Tech this weekend 34-24. But they will be facing off against my Texas Longhorns this week, the 18th ranked Texas Longhorns. They will be here in Austin, Texas, baby. So I'm looking forward to this game because the Longhorns actually, now, as I've stated before, I felt like the Longhorns were going to have a good season, but not like a season where they were going to make a run for this college football playoff. But I did feel like they were going to fuck with teams, specifically like TCU. Because I did feel like TCU was going to be a solid team. But TCU has been pretty shaky, especially against the Big 12 teams. And so don't be surprised if you see Texas. Texas is definitely going to at least make it a game. But don't be surprised if you see my Longhorns upset TCU this weekend. But until somebody upsets TCU, it is well deserved that they're at number four. Because everybody else behind them, I don't really feel like should be number four, at least at this current point in time. But if they do get a win over Texas, that actually helps them, that pads their resume and makes it look even better for them to be in the playoffs. So we'll see what happens. But hook 'em horns, motherfucker. Hook 'em horns. Then at number five, we have the Tennessee Vols. So they fell from number one to number five this week. Overall record of 8-1. They got beat by Georgia 27-13. This week they will be playing Mizzou. Then at number six, the Oregon Ducks, 8-1 on the season. They just stomped Colorado 49-10. And this weekend they will be playing Wisconsin. Then at number seven, we have LSU, who just had a big game against Alabama, got a big win 32-31. Right now, LSU is 7-2 on the season. And this week, they play at Arkansas. Then at number eight, USC Trojans. They are 8-1 on the season. This past week, they just got by Cal 41-35, and they play Colorado this week. Then at number nine, the Alabama Crimson Tide. I kind of don't think they fell far enough, though. I mean, they are 7-2 on the season. And while I guess LSU's up there, too, well, they're 7-2. It's just, this is what I mean about the SEC. While they do have really good teams, they still get that little bias. Even though Alabama's not as dominating as they usually are, here they are, still ranked at number nine. I thought they were going to fall a little bit further down the way. And now what sucks is I thought that kind of kicked them, this loss, I thought kicked them basically out of playoff contention. And it really actually doesn't. Because let's say, because I mean, at some point, Michigan and Ohio State, they're going to play each other. So that's going to give one of those teams a loss. But I don't think it really matters. I still think they get the respect and will still be up there. But let's say TCU suffers a loss. And let's just say Tennessee doesn't suffer another loss. So that would probably bump Tennessee up above TCU. But let's just say a couple of these teams start losing along the way. Alabama could still sneak in that college football playoff. So I was counting my chickens too early before they hatched on that one. So while I don't think Alabama's going to get there, they've got a lot of work from a lot of other. They need a lot of help from a lot of other teams ahead of them. But they're ranked at number 9 still. So we'll see. And they've suffered a couple of pretty bad losses. They do play at Mississippi this weekend, who are ranked number 11. So that's another tough one. But we'll see. Hopefully Mississippi's able to beat them and at least make sure Alabama does not make the college football playoff. Because at this point, it's like, I don't personally have anything against Alabama. I've never even really given a shit about Alabama. But it's like at this point, we've seen them in the college football playoff every single year since the inception. Can we just have one year without having to hear the name Alabama? Especially because they're going to be expanding the college football playoff. I can't remember if it's next year or the year after, but it's going to be expanded already. So it's like, this is probably our only opportunity to not see them in the college football playoff. So come on, Mississippi. And then rounding out this week's top 10, coaching poll top 10 in college football is the Clemson Tigers, who are 8-1, and they just got stomped by Notre Dame 35-14. They do play Louisville this week. So they should bounce back strong. But I mean, see what I mean though about the SEC teams compare, and don't get me wrong, I actually don't think Clemson's that good this year. I think they got respect just because of what they've done over the past, like, you know, 5 seasons. But they're just really not that great of a team offensively. But I mean, really, if you look at it, Tennessee suffers a loss and they don't tumble down that far. Oregon got stomped at the beginning of the season and here they are in the top 6. And then LSU and Alabama both have 2 losses on the season, and they're still in the top 10. Alabama's never fallen out of the top 10. Clemson suffers 1 bad loss, and yes, it was a bad loss. And they tumbled all the way down to number 10. So that just kind of goes to show that the SEC, they just get that bias. But so yeah, that's this week's college football top 10 teams. And it's about to get more spicy with these teams since we're getting closer and closer to the end of the college football season. But we also, now this week just started, kicked off college basketball season. So I will be talking more of that, probably more once college football ends, unless some big games or big things happen in between now and then. But hey, we have yet another sport to be excited about. And so, yeah, and the Longhorns are looking really good on the basketball side of things. So excited about that, but I'm also excited about them playing TCU this weekend because should be a good game either way, but hopefully we're getting that upset. But anyways, so that's today's show, and I will talk to you guys on Friday.